I want to read a verse from Genesis chapter 6, verses 5. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This was just before the Lord destroyed the people during Noah's time because of their sins. And this is the description of the people that time, that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And we read that again in chapter 8, verse 21. And the Lord smelt a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. We can say that's the condition of an unconverted man's heart, is evil from youth. But the thing is, when we turn from sin and put our faith in the Lord, we get a new heart. And after that, everything is a matter of how our heart is. You know, the Lord said one more verse in 1 Samuel 16 verse 7. It's a famous verse that most of us know, probably by heart. We heard it from our childhood. 1 Samuel 16 verse 7. You know, when the Lord wanted to select a king for Israel, after Saul failed the Lord, the Lord sent Samuel the prophet to David's house. And, you know, normally when you want to select a king, you select a king who is tall and smart, muscular, hefty, clever, and good looking. But you know, when the Lord wanted to select a king, he was not looking for any of these human qualities. And so, when the prophet went to David's house, one by one, from number one came, and the first one's personality was very impressive. And the prophet thought, maybe this is the one God's chosen. And the Lord told Samuel, sorry, this is not the one. Verse 7, the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I refused him. For the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Oh, I wish we are gripped by this wonderful word. You know, many people are disturbed that they're not good looking, they don't have the right personality, and that's the reason they're always trying to buy all kinds of cosmetics to make themselves more beautiful. And there's no end to all that. But I have some comforting news for you, brothers and sisters. Even if you're not good looking, you don't have to waste your money on cosmetics. If you are gripped by this verse that the Lord is more concerned about the condition of your heart than your good look. And all those who believe, can you say amen? That's a wonderful verse I want to say this morning. You don't have to feel sad that you're not good looking. Concentrate on the condition of your heart. And you know, the condition of a heart is the most important thing in Christian life. It's not a cleverness, it's not a gift, it's not a talent, it's not even our ability to speak. And you know, all of us, when we get sick, we go to the doctor. And you know what's the first thing the doctor does? He checks our heartbeat. He uses a stethoscope to check whether your heartbeat is okay. And you know, if the doctor has some suspicion, he just goes for some more tests. do ECG and echograph and many other tests, because the doctor wants to make sure your heart is okay. And in the same way, you know, the spiritual condition of a heart is extremely important, brothers and sisters, for a Christian life. And I find so many believers, they're not so careful about how they keep their heart. And that's the reason many are spiritually sick. That's not God's will. I believe it's God's will that just like, you know, we are concerned about our physical health, we want to make sure our heart is okay. Spiritually speaking, although we must take the same care to make sure that your heart is okay, that there's no problem. And that's why we need to constantly have a checkup. You know, just like we have an annual checkup, constantly we need to check up and say, is my heart okay? And, you know, this wonderful verse, we have spoken in the early years many times, but maybe not recently, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Have you seen brothers and sisters who keep their heart with all diligence? Then you can say you're a wholehearted brother. If you're careless about your heart, you're more concerned about what you eat and coming to the meetings and having a good testimony, things are not so good with you. And I believe that's a wonderful verse for all of us to remember all through life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I know ever since I heard that word, I've tried to take it seriously. And I know it's really helped me, that verse. I love that verse. It's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And this morning I want to speak to you about 8 types of heart that the Bible speaks. Or we can say, after we are saved, God expects us to have at least 5 types of heart. I've listed down 8. There are probably many more. Number 1. You know, the Lord wants to give us a merry heart, a melodious heart, a praising heart, a thankful heart. You know, we read in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. You know, even the doctor examines the patient, he looks at his face and says, hey, something wrong with your face. You know, when the heart is good, the face is also good. And same way, when your heart is full of joy, it shows up in your face. I like to see brothers and sisters have a merry heart. You know? And then Proverbs 15, same chapter, verse 15. Second part. He that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. And chapter 17, verse 22. A merry heart does good like a medicine. And I believe that's God's will for all of His children. To have a merry heart. A heart that's full of joy. Gladness. And not only that, it says one more, I want to show you one more verse, how God wanted His people to be really happy. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 10. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 10. Solomon was dedicating his temple. It says here, and on the 23rd day of the 7th month, he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord has shown unto David and to Solomon and Israel and his people. The more you're taken up with the Lord's goodness, your heart will be merry, brothers and sisters. And it's God's will that we as people should be merry always in our heart. And you see, we see some examples of this in the scriptures. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. You read about Hannah, a wonderful sister. And Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. My heart is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over my enemies because I rejoice in the salvation. It's wonderful to have sisters in the church who rejoice in the Lord and who can praise the Lord from the depth of the heart. And I want to tell you, sisters, you constitute nearly 50% of the church. When you have a merry heart and a heart that can rejoice in the Lord, it makes a difference to the church. And we read about one more sister in Luke chapter 1, verse 46. Young sister here. You single sisters, can you bring a different spirit to the meeting? Luke chapter 1, verse 46. And Mary said, Mary was a very young sister. I think definitely she was less than 25. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit doth rejoice in God, my Savior. And we know David when he was young. Oh, his heart was so full of joy, full of praise to the Lord. And you know, David says in Psalm chapter 9, verse 1. I just want to take you through some of the scriptures. You can see David's heart. Psalm 9, verse 1. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. And verse 2. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name. That's the heart David had. And Psalm 16, verse 9. Verse 8, he says, I set the Lord always before me because he is at my right and I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad. David was a man who was really happy in the Lord as a young brother. And Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices. So it's only right that we learn to rejoice in the Lord, have a heart full of joy and full of praise and thanks and worship, so that any time during the week the Lord can smell a heart where there's joy. For example, we know there's another favorite verse, Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 18 onwards. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Brothers and sisters, do you have a heart that is melodious, not just merry? Even if you're not musically minded, even if you don't know to read music, you can have a melodious heart. I believe the Lord's looking for brothers and sisters who've got a not only a merry heart, not only a praising heart, but a melodious heart. Monday through Saturday, not just on Sunday. That even at work, that you know, deep down there's a heart of melody that you can hum a tune and praise the Lord. And I believe the Lord is delighted with such a heart. And it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. He says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart. That means there's so much of thankfulness that you want to sing to the Lord. What a wonderful way to live, brothers and sisters, on this earth, full of joy, full of praise, full of thanks. And I hope you'll say, Lord, please give me such a heart, merry heart. Okay, that's number one. Number two. This is the kind of heart that the Lord expects from us. We read about that in Luke chapter 8, verse 1. This parable is known to many of us. Parable of the sower. I'm not going to go into the full parable, but we know how the sower went to sow. Some fell by the wayside, some fell on the rock, some fell on the among the thorns, and some fell on the good ground. And then Jesus explained it, how, you know, those, verse 12, those by the wayside are they that hear the, here then comes the devil and takes away the word out of their hearts. Oh, so many people have let the devil take away the God's word from their hearts. And then verse 13, some people, there's no depth. The word of God does not go deep inside, very superficial, and they can't endure the trials. And that's why God's word doesn't have much, it doesn't bear much fruit. It says, in the time of temptation they fall away. And verse 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which hear, and they heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasure of life. It says in other translation, lusts of other things. They choke the word, and they don't bring fruit. But verse 15 it says that those that on the good ground are they which in an honest and a good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. I want to ask you, brothers and sisters, has it been the burning desire of your heart, Lord, give me a good and a honest heart, so that your word can bear much fruit in me? Especially we here, we have heard the words of God so much, and we should be those, amongst those bringing forth much fruit. And if you're not bringing forth fruit, I want you to have a checkup this morning. Go home, have a checkup. Lord, is there something wrong with my heart, Lord, that I'm not bringing forth fruit as I ought to? It's good, brothers and sisters. You will not suffer by having a checkup. And if your heart, if you don't have a good and honest heart, say, Lord, I'm ashamed of myself. Please deal with my heart, Lord. Help me to get rid of all stones and thorns and thistles in my life. And Lord, give me a soft heart, a good heart, that your word can have a deep and a powerful effect on my life. You know, David, for example, he was a young brother, but you could say Psalm 119:11, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin. And Psalm 37 verse 31, David says, Psalm 37 verse 31, the law of God is in his heart, none of his steps shall slide. Brothers and sisters, can you say from your heart, God's word is in my heart, not just in my head, not just verses that hang on the wall in our house? I believe we should be able to say, God's word in my heart, and it's getting deeper and deeper into my heart, into my system, that I hope you can even during your dreams think about God's word. It's wonderful that your thoughts can be so purified by God's word that even your dreams, that you can get God's word. I remember once my father was in coma in the hospital, and in that condition he was saying one verse so zealously, there's no other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. Oh, that word had gone into system. May God help us, brothers and sisters, to have a good and a honest heart, that God's word can go deeper and deeper and bring forth more and more fruit in life. And I hope this morning that will be a prayer and say, Lord, give me a good and a honest heart. Okay, I want to move on. Number three, the Lord wants to give us a humble heart, a broken and a contrite heart, and a repentant heart. You know, and David was so gripped by this. He says in Psalm 34 verse 18, the Lord is near to them that are of a broken heart, and saves such as be of a contrite spirit. I believe David had a revelation about this. And that's why he writes even in Psalm 51, verse 17. He said, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. In Isaiah 57, 15 it says, the Lord revives those who have a broken and a contrite heart. Brothers and sisters, if you are so sorry for the sins you have committed and have a repentant heart, I believe the Lord is delighted with such a heart. He will revive you. He will be near you. You know, the opposite of a humble heart is a proud heart. We see that in Daniel chapter 4 verse 30. Daniel chapter 4 verse 30, we see Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, he was walking in his palace, and verse 30 said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty?" He was just saying that in his heart. And you know how the Lord judged him because of that. It is in Proverbs 16:5. Everyone was proud in heart. It's an abomination to the Lord. And we can say the opposite of that is, everyone with humble of heart is a delight to God. When the Lord finds humility in your heart, I believe he's delighted. And in this pride in your heart, he hates it. And that's the reason, brothers and sisters, we've got to constantly make sure that we get rid of every bit of pride from our heart. Because it says in Luke chapter 1 verse 51, God scatters the proud in the imagination of the heart. So that also teaches us that humility is not acting before people. You are not acting humble before people. Humility is a matter of the heart. I think not many people are aware of this. And that's why they're always trying to give a good impression to people. Like we heard from the beginning this morning, God looks at the heart. He is not impressed by your acting. The Lord can see through pride in us. And he can also see through humility in us. And oh, brothers and sisters, may we say, "Lord, I want to make humility of heart my priority." And if you do that, you'll make progress. And I want to show you one more example in the Bible. In 2 Samuel, chapter 6, verse 16. Here we read about David's wife, Michal. She was the daughter of King Saul. And you know, she grew up in the palace. And Saul got her married to David. And David was a very simple kind of a man. He was not such a sophisticated personality. But he loved the Lord. And one day when they brought the ark in, oh, David danced before the Lord. He was so full of praise and thanks. And his wife, probably she was not spiritual like him. And she saw that. And verse 16. "And as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord." He said she despised him in her heart. She didn't say a word. But you know, she said, "Oh, this David is supposed to be the king, but he's acting so mean. He's acting so cheap." It says she despised David in her heart. And what are the result? Verse 23. "Therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child until the day of her death. She was barren." You know, sometimes you despise people in the heart. We get spiritual barrenness. I want to encourage you, sisters. Learn to honor your husbands in your heart. Speak with reverence. Speak with respect to your husband. Ask yourself if there's spiritual barrenness. See, in any way, you're despising your husband. He says in Ephesians 5, "Let the wives see that they reverence their husband." I believe that's the mark of a God-fearing sister. She reverences her husband. You know that verse? Maybe I'll show you. Ephesians chapter, verse 5, verse 33. "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she honors her husband." Sisters, have you ever taken this verse seriously? All you wives, it'll change your life. It'll heal all your spiritual barrenness. Just taste it, just experiment with this verse. Take that word seriously. Say, "Lord, I want to honor my husband. He's the head of my home." And when you do that, I believe spiritual healing will come pretty soon. spiritual progress will come. And brothers and sisters, even men, we must ask ourselves, is there any way you are despising your partner? I believe there's much of it in India. Husbands and wives despising each other. And that's the reason things don't go so well. And the more you learn to honor each other, you'll find God blessing you. And the Lord sees humility in your heart, He will bring healing. One more person, again, we can look at David's life. David had humility in his heart. I think that's one reason the Lord blessed David so much. Go back to Psalm 131. What a wonderful example we see in David. I hope we in the new covenant can at least come up to this level. You know, David could say, Psalm 131 verse 1, Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, neither do I exceed myself in great matters, or in things too high for me. Brothers and sisters, can you say that? Lord, to the best of my ability, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty, I mind my own business. No, if you do that, God's grace will come on you, and you will be a wonderful brother. I mean, one mark of humility is we remain humble and mind our own business. And we can also look at the example of Jesus. Jesus could say in Matthew chapter 11 verse 28, learn from me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Oh, Jesus was a young brother, and he could challenge all human beings. I am meek and lowly of heart. Jesus was not acting, and he was not pretending. He said, there is humility in my heart. Learn from me, he said. Oh, may we have a great longing. Lord Jesus, give me that meekness and lowliness of heart, and let's make that our passion, brothers and sisters. I believe the heart of God was satisfied when Jesus lived on earth as a man with meekness and lowliness of heart. And, you know, in the remaining years of our life, maybe say, Lord, I want to make this my number one priority. If you only give me, Lord, a meek and a lowly heart, that's enough for me, Lord. It's good to ask yourself, brothers, is that your priority in life? What have you been seeking God for? Apart from a job and a house and a partner, has the Lord seen in your heart a longing day after day? Lord, give me that meekness and lowliness of heart. Oh, may God find amongst us many this meek and lowly heart. Okay, I want to move on to number 4. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Everything is a question of the heart, brothers and sisters. You know, Jesus said also in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, you know, all kinds of sin come from the heart. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemy, etc., etc. All kinds of sin come from the heart. And that's why we need purity of heart. Jesus spoke about lusting with the eyes. And he said that is like committing adultery in the heart. See, there's such a close connection between eyes and a heart. And that's the reason we need to keep our heart with all diligence. And if you're serious about purity of heart, say, Lord, I don't want to have one dirty thought in my heart. Can the Lord say that He has observed you being so zealous to cleanse your heart? Every time you slipped up, you fell into sin, you mourned, and said, Lord, I hate it with all my heart. I want purity of heart. I want to tell you, if you have such a heart, you are a blessed brother and sister. You know, brothers and sisters, the mark of a spiritual man is there's a continual longing in his heart to cleanse himself more and more and more. He's never satisfied. He says, Lord, I want more of purity in my heart, in what I see, what I read, in what I think. And you keep pursuing of the purity to such an extent that you cleanse yourself from many, many sins, and you come to such a place where you can say, like we heard often in the meeting, A pure heart is one that desires nothing but God. Psalm 73 verse 25. There's nothing on earth that is thy besides thee. Oh, maybe you say, Lord, I want a heart that seeks after you alone. Not just external purity, and not just purity in the heart, but Lord, I want such purity that I desire nothing on earth besides you. Then we can say you are amongst those who have a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. You know, when you have a pure heart, Jesus said, you will not only be blessed, but you will see God. You will have a revelation of God. Oh, may God give us such a longing. And you know, brothers, I have moved on to the fifth type of heart. When you have a pure heart, you know what the Lord does? Can somebody tell me? When you have a pure heart, the Lord wants to fill us with His love. See, in Romans chapter 5, verse 5. It says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason we need to keep our hearts clean. When the heart is clean and pure, oh, the Lord wants to flood our hearts with the love of God. And when your heart is flooded with the love of God, you learn to love God with all your heart, soul and mind. And you learn to love others with a pure heart. See, Peter said in 1 Peter 1, 22. It says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and to sincere love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. That means you learn to love God with all your heart and you learn to love the brothers and sisters with a pure heart fervently. Only love. Keep loving and only loving. What a wonderful development, brothers and sisters. To love God with all your heart and to love the brothers and sisters and to help you, the Lord will pour out His love into your heart, into a pure heart, into a clean heart. Oh, maybe say, Lord, fill my heart, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, that I can learn to love you and love the others. And what a way to live on earth. If you're gripped by that, can you say amen? Yeah, I see not so many are gripped by such a heart. Yeah, I want to move on to the sixth type of heart. You know, the Lord wants to give us a heart of mercy, compassion. And you know, since the Lord has forgiven us so much, and I believe it's only right that we learn to forgive all those who have sinned against us in any way. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18, verse 35, there's a wonderful expression here I want you to notice this morning. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. You know, it's amazing. So many believers got grudges, some bitterness against someone. And that's the reason there's no growth and progress and development. I want to encourage you this morning. Forgive others from your heart. You see, oh brother, you don't know what my mother-in-law did to me. Or my brother-in-law, whoever it is. Or your boss. Can you just say, I will forgive them this morning from my heart. I want to tell you, you'll see great progress in your life. If you say, Lord, I don't want to wait even till the sun goes down. You know, if you have a problem, the Bible says before the sun goes down, you must settle matters. Why do you want to wait till the sun goes down? Why can't you forgive from the heart straight away? That's the wholehearted man. Unconditional forgiveness. Forgiveness from the heart. I believe, you know, it's not a great spiritual progress. Say, oh brother, I have bitterness. I have repented. You should be ashamed. You've been a believer for so long and you say, oh, I had this bitterness. You're not doing a big favor to yourself. You should be able to say, now it's almost impossible for me to have any bitterness against anyone because I've learned to forgive them straight away from my heart. Then I can say you're making progress. And it's good to remain like that till the end of your life. Ready to forgive. I believe that's God's nature. He's ready to forgive. He's not waiting and waiting. Immediately forgives when they repent. And we also should be able to immediately release people and forgive others straight from the heart. Okay, number 7. Acts chapter 15 verse 9. says here, verse 8, and God which knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as He did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their heart by faith. You know, when you put your faith in the Lord, your heart is purified by faith. That's why there's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, because we are saved by faith. And it says your heart is purified by faith. And it says in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. It's amazing, that's a very strong expression. Verse 12, sorry. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any one of you an evil heart. When you don't have faith in God and God's word, faith in what the Lord has done for you, you get an evil heart. God takes it so serious. Unbelief. Oh, maybe say, Lord, I don't want to have any bit of unbelief in my heart consciously. And you know, in Acts chapter 24, how the Lord rebuked His disciples when they were slow hard to believe. Acts 24, verse 25, He said, oh, ye fools, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, and may God give us grace to believe quickly all that's written in the Bible. And then the Lord will appreciate us, not have to exhort us. Okay, number 8. Number 8 is Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. Again, it's a lovely verse, Ezekiel 11, verse 19. The Lord says, He will take the stony heart and give us a heart of flesh. What a wonderful promise, brothers and sisters. I want to ask you this morning, do you have a stony heart? Come to the Lord. He wants to take away the stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, He spoke about divorce. And people asked Him, why did Moses permit divorce? And He said, because of the hardness of your heart. Oh, I believe many husbands and wives got hardness of heart. And I want to say this morning, that's not God's will. The Lord wants to change your heart, give both of you a soft heart, tender heart, a heart of flesh. Then you are a wonderful husband, wonderful wife, then you can learn to love. And I believe many husbands and wives need to see God for a tender heart, soft heart. And your married life will become wonderful when all hardness is removed from your heart. Okay, I hope you'll think about this 8 types of heart that I showed you. And then, in closing, I want to quickly run through different people whose heart the Lord touched. For example, we read in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 12. It says here, and I rose in the night, and some few men with me, neither told any man what my God had put in my heart. Nehemiah gave himself to the Lord. God put something in his heart. Will you give yourself to the Lord, that God can put some thought in His heart to serve Him? Maybe to reach out to somebody. Maybe to go and bless somebody. Oh, what a challenge we have from Nehemiah. 1 Samuel 10:9. He says here, when the Lord touched Saul. 1 Samuel 10:9. He says, God gave him another heart. Oh, maybe say, Lord, just give me another heart, Lord. And it's written about David, Acts 13:22. He was a man after God's own heart. You have a longing, brothers and sisters, Lord, make me a man after your own heart. And then one word for the sisters also, Acts chapter 16, verse 14. Here we read about a wonderful sister. Acts 16:14. It says here, and a certain woman named Lydia, seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, whose heart the Lord opened. Oh, her heart was so responsive to God's word. So here we see the good examples of those who gave themselves to the Lord and God could work in their hearts. And we also have some people who gave themselves to the devil. For example, John chapter 13, verse 2. He says, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas. Oh, devil, Judas opened his heart to the devil to betray Jesus. And oh, he not only betrayed the Lord, he ruined his own life. And Acts chapter 5, verse 3. Here we see a couple open themselves to the devil instead of giving themselves to the Lord. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? When you don't give yourself to the Lord, Satan fills your heart. And that's why we need to make sure that we don't give one bit of our heart to the devil. Say, Lord, my heart is for you. And Acts chapter 8 verse 21, you know, Peter told Simon, your heart is not right in the sight of God. Verse 23, I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. And I believe it's never God's will our heart should be like that. Our heart should be right in the sight of God. And we can see the heart of God, longing of God's heart here, brothers and sisters. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. You know what kind of heart God desires for all of us? Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 29. Oh, that there were such a heart in them, that they would fear me, keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever and ever. Oh, I hope this morning you'll say, Lord, give me a good heart, Lord. That's what Jesus said, a good man, out of good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. I believe after we are saved, if we let the Lord work in us, we should be able to say, God's given me a good heart. Not only a good heart, a good treasure. There are riches in my heart. Not just saying, oh brother, I'm struggling with bitterness. You know, that's a pretty pathetic way of living. I believe we should be able to say, God's got a treasure in my heart. So many good things are there. He says in Proverbs 6, he says that God hates the heart that devises these wicked imaginations. And the mark of a man was, let the Lord work in his heart. Now he's not devising wicked imagination. He's thinking, how can I do good? How can I bless? How can I serve? How can I give that brother a surprise? That's letting the Holy Spirit work in you. That your heart will be so good, not just struggling. I believe God wants to make a heart so glorious. And David says in Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I believe I don't regard iniquity. The Lord will hear us. I believe we can have confidence when we pray. God will hear my prayer. And that's why, brothers and sisters, may God give us grace to take our heart very seriously. Keep your heart with all diligence. And let me run through briefly what I shared this morning. The different types of heart. First, the Lord wants to give us a merry heart, a melodious heart, heart of praise and thanks. Number two, a good and honest heart. Number three, a humble and a broken heart. Number four, a pure heart. Number five, a heart full of love. A heart of mercy and compassion, a forgiving heart. And number seven, a believing heart. Number seven, a soft and a tender heart. And lastly, you can say a heart that's given over to the Lord. Oh, may God work in you to do His will and His good pleasure, so that when you come to the end of your life, you can say, God did a good work in me, that my heart, this is a good treasure. Oh, may you cooperate with the Lord and with the Holy Spirit and with this world. Amen. Yeah, this morning we want to sing this song, Search Me, O God, and know my heart. That was the prayer of David. Search me, Lord. Try me, Lord. Know my thoughts, Lord. I hope this morning you say, Lord, do an ECG of my heart, Lord. Do an echograph, Lord. And Lord, I want to make sure my heart is good. And shall we all stand up and sing this song as a prayer from our heart?
I was blessed what I heard this morning. So good to hear pure word of God like this. You know, the heart is something that we all need to take very close heed to. That verse often comes to my mind from Proverbs 4:23. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, the very purpose for which God gave us the heart, I'll just come to that in a moment. When we were born, all of us as small babies, we all had a very pure, good, clean, blameless heart. God had blessed all of us with that. But as we grew up, day by day, year by year, we sort of, you know, acquired so many things and corrupted ourselves. Our hearts became impure, like we heard this morning. Very thought and intent of man's heart was all evil. That was the reason why God had to judge this world. And turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. It says, the reason why we come together like this and the purpose of all instruction is this. The goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Love from a pure heart, a good conscience and a sincere faith. The same words come back again in verse 19. Keeping faith and a good conscience, etc. You see, we read when a lawyer came to Jesus, we read about that in Matthew 22, verse 37. He comes and asks Jesus, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? And we know the answer. Jesus tells him, love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul. And in some translation it says, with all of your strength too. So that means God's intention was that our hearts should be filled with Himself completely. There's no place for anything or anybody else. When our heart is filled with Himself completely, then our hearts will be what it should be. And today our heart is in such a condition, it's because our heart is not filled with God completely. So, it says in Psalm verse 4, chapter 4, Psalm 4:4 it says, when you are angry, in some translation it says, when you are angry, do not sin. Go lie down on the bed and meditate. It's a very practical verse. I was blessed to read that when I heard it for the first time from Brother Zach. It says in Psalm 4:4, tremble and do not sin. You know, when you are angry, you are trembling inside. And it says, even when you are trembling, do not sin. Go and lie down on your bed. Meditate in your heart upon your bed and be still. You know, an angry heart is a heart that carries fire in it. It's something like a person who is angry. The Bible says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Means, don't go to bed with anger unsettled. So when you're going to bed with anger in your heart, you're going to bed with some live coals in your heart. And the person who suffers is not the other person with whom you're angry, but you yourself. And there was a book called None of These Diseases in the 60s and 70s written by Dr. S.I. Macmillan. He says in that book, the person whom you hate is a person who always haunts you and hounds you day and night, and you are his slave. You know, the person whom we hate controls you. Not that you control him, he controls you day and night. But the only remedy for that is when you forgive and release that person, you're free. And he has no more control over you. So, I learned it a very long time back, that verse, what that doctor said. It's for our own good and for your own good health. It is good for you to forgive. Jesus said, if you don't forgive, even your heavenly Father will not forgive. A forgiving heart. When you forgive, you do a great favor, not to the person you forgive, but to yourself. By forgiving others, you are blessing yourself. So ask God for a forgiving heart, a heart full of peace, a heart full of purity, heart full of gratitude, and so many types of heart we heard this morning. May the Lord help each one of us to come to that place. And I just want to conclude with one last verse. If we have messed up, and if we have blown up our opportunities, and if we have corrupted our hearts, and if we have shattered heart or broken heart or whatever the condition of our heart is this morning, there is hope for everybody. You could read that verse with me in Psalm 51, which David prayed after he repented of his grievous sin. Psalm 51. Make this your prayer this morning. Verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Make this a prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit. And verse 17 again. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. If you want God's attention to be on you, be broken in your spirit. Cry out to God, Lord, a broken and a contrite heart, I know you will not pass by. You will not despise. May I live in that condition all the days of my life. Cleanse me from whatever condition I am in today. Create in me a clean heart and renew a steadfast spirit so that I may do what is required of me the rest of my life. Amen.
Let's respond to God's word this morning. And I believe the Lord is very concerned about the condition of our heart. And brothers, and I want to tell you this morning, the condition of the church depends on the condition of your heart. If your heart is clean and pure and humble and broken and contrite and filled with God's love and full of faith, you're a great blessing to the church. I want to say this morning, God's promise for us is, the Lord said He'll give us a new heart and a new mind. Oh, He wants to completely cleanse of every muck and dirt and impurity and so work in us and make our heart so beautiful. I hope you'll respond to the Lord. Shall we close our eyes this morning? And I hope you'll make that your prayer. Lord, create in me a clean heart. You know the condition of your heart, brother and sister. I don't know your heart, but the Lord knows your heart. And I hope you'll say, Lord, have mercy on me. Work in me, Lord. Give me a soft heart, tender heart. And I hope the Lord will see amongst us, crying out to Him, Lord, give me a good and honest heart, a merry heart. And I want to tell you, the Bible says, delight in the Lord and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Lord, we want to thank You for Your word. Thank You, Lord, that You want to work in us and change us so much, Lord. And You want to make us so beautiful inside, Lord. Thank You for the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank You for the power of Your word. Thank You, Lord, You said that You will give us, You'll take away the stony heart and give us the heart of flesh, Lord. And I pray this morning, Lord, You will take away every bit of hardness from our hearts, Lord. And give us really a good heart, Lord. And a humble heart. And a soft and a tender heart, Lord. Yes, Lord, that we can make Your heart happy, Lord. Help us not to make You sad, Lord Jesus. And we pray You will find amongst us brothers and sisters who can bring joy to Your heart, Lord. And oh, help us keep our heart with all diligence, Lord. Help us to take Your word seriously, Lord. Thank You for Your presence, Your word this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.